On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
We apparently have Whoopi Goldberg's bus.
Yes.
Whoopi Goldberg apparently does not like flying.
Hey, aren't you that guy everybody hates?
No, man, no.
This is Tall Can Audio. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at Facebook.com/TallCanAudio.
Just do it!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back into another edition of the Tall Can Audio podcast. Make sure you're following us wherever you're listening right now. Hit the subscribe button, hit that follow button. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio. Happy to be welcoming back to the show TSN's James Duffy. How you doing this morning?
Good, Matt. How you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good. I got to tell everybody, you got a book coming out today, and I just reached out over the weekend, asked if you would include another mediocre podcast on the media tour, and James was gracious enough to do it, so... if you missed it, James was also on during our fifth anniversary show back in May during the first round of the pandemic. So I reached out and he was good enough to do it again. I really appreciate that.
No problem at all, my friend.
Before we get into the book, I got to ask, because I know at the time that we spoke to you last, you were doing all right with the pandemic. Golf courses were opening back up. It was the spring. Here we are in the fall. It's getting cold. The golf courses are going to be closing. What are you keeping yourself busy with, and are you starting to get nervous?
Yes, I think. I played golf yesterday. It was kind of a beautiful, cool fall day. You got the toques out and everything, so that was great. But yeah, you can sense the end is near. Keeping busy has not been a problem because of the book and everything that goes with putting out a book. And we've put out a podcast along with the book, which... takes up a lot of my time, and it was busy during the last month or so with hockey, with free agency and everything else. I mean, it should settle in right now. I have the Masters ahead in November, which we actually just found
so
out.
So weird.
Yeah, I know, it's really weird, and we're actually going, which I didn't think we would be able to pull off, but that's a whole other podcast in itself. How we're doing testing and taking a bus down there, so we stay within our own bubble. And I'm actually really looking forward to it, because one of the hard things about covering the Masters is there's so many people there, and you just can't get to, you know, if you want to watch Tiger Woods or somebody, it's almost impossible to see them. Now there's going to be no fans, and we'll be basically alone out there with a handful of marshals watching the tournament, which is going to be from a point of view of purely selfishly trying to cover the golf tournament, is going to be amazing. But anyway, all those things have kept me busier than I actually thought I would be this time of year.
So this is a bus rolling down to Georgia. I've heard Puffy tell the story of you big time and everybody and flying home first class and leaving people behind. Do you have your own James Duffy bus, and then everyone else is in a yellow school bus, or how does this work?
Everybody else follows behind my luxury bus. No, we actually have. I was going to talk about this on our pod this week, but I'll give you the preempts on the story. We apparently have Whoopi Goldberg's bus.
Yes.
Whoopi Goldberg, apparently, in the tradition of John Madden, does not like flying, so. When she goes from LA to New York or whatever, she takes this bus, and I guess Whoopi didn't need it for a week. So it's apparently a nice bus that has, you know, big screen TVs and
Sister Act 1, 2, and 3 on DVD sitting there.
Yeah. No, VHS.
Of
just
course.
VHS.
Yeah.
It's old school. So we'll all get tested in the Toronto area, and get the test results, hopefully relatively quickly, and then get on this bus, drive whatever it is, hours, straight to our house in Georgia, which we rent, and then we only are allowed to go from the house to the golf course and back. We can't basically go anywhere else, which is going to really cut down on Puffy's bar
time. Yeah, honestly. You're going to have that luggage thing stocked before you leave Toronto.
That's right. And we're going to cover the Masters that way, so I'm excited about that.
Wow, that sounds awesome. The Whoopi Goldberg Express. Can't wait. That'll be fun to hear it on the Rubber Boots podcast, which is James's show with Puffy and Lester and Stoff. And it's worth checking out if you haven't before. What was it like to do the free agent frenzy in October? Was it any different? I'm sure you're still sitting there all day, you know, inside the same kind of, well, the studios are spread out a little bit actually, but was it any different?
Yeah. I would say, Matt, that, the biggest difference was just what you said. I mean, it was weird. It was just weird being there in October. And it was weird mentally because it's actually one of my favorite days of the year because it's the last day of work.
Yes.
And everybody, you know, it's a long day, but it's always a really interesting day. It's I like that show much better than Trade Center because you're pretty much guaranteed stuff will happen. Mm-hmm. It was a little different this year because most of the big names kind of waited a bit, but we still had, you know, enough information to carry us through the day.
Right.
But, you know, usually on July 1st, Bob and I always joke when that drive home from the station is the happiest day of the year because you're about to go on to usually I'm leaving for Cabot the next day to go golfing.
Right.
I have a big vacation planned. You know, the world is at your oyster on July 1st. And instead, it's basically, you know, we're going into this void of black hole of the unknown.
Right.
And so that made it weird. And secondly, just what you said, the spacing of the commentators. Usually we have about 20 guys in there, and because of 6 feet and all the mandatory things, we could limit the amount of people that were in the studio, which was a little strange. Besides that, it was fine. It's actually nice to be in there with all the guys and have some sense of normalcy in what's been the least normal of years.
Right. Yeah, it's been, I got to tell you, like, maybe we covered it the last time, I don't know, I'm a Leaf guy, and so for months, there was nothing in terms of hockey, and then they were back for like a week, and then they were punted to the curb again, and you're like, oh, like, that was fun, I guess we'll, I follow the rest of it, but it's not quite the same, and I always have a hangover, normally I call it the Bruins hangover, but it was Columbus this year.
All right.
It takes me a week or two to get back into it, and I come back around for the conference finals or whatever, but this was strange, and I wonder... I saw that ratings were down for the Stanley Cup finals, but I've seen that ratings are down across a lot of sports right now. I don't know if people have other things on their mind or what might be happening there, but I wonder if you felt like, to me, it was a theory. Is Canada truly a hockey country, or are we an our team country? Because our summers are short and it's not quite the same as you and Bob on July 1st with the pedal down, peeling out of the parking lot. But once your team is done, you get outside and you enjoy your summer. And I can tell you, once my team was done, I didn't really care about watching hockey in August as much as I thought I would. I wanted to go back outside. I wanted to...
Right.
What was the experience like trying to cover it? And did you feel like it was a different vibe? Obviously, it was a different vibe. But, you know, what was your take on the whole thing?
Well, I think you're bang on, first of all. I don't think you're alone in that. And I think we are a hockey country, look, more than most countries in the world. But I believe when it comes to the NHL, we are very much more so your favorite team country. And if the Leafs were to get knocked out by the Bruins in the spring, there's definitely a drop off in ratings, but people will still stick around because they're used to it and watch hockey, just not in as big numbers, at least from a Toronto standpoint or whatever city you might be in.
Sure.
In this case, I think the drop off was much more substantial. It was kind of like the little yodeler guy on The Price is Right, right? And then boom. Because I can only go by, look, I'm not a Leafs fan. Yeah. I don't cheer for anybody. But I'm going by my buddies that I golf with and everything. There was just not the interest this year. And I think this part of the time of the year is a big part of it. The no fans, it does make a difference. As great as they did, and I think the NBA and the NHL did a fantastic job.
It was incredible. I'm blown away by how successful
they were. Yeah. But it's still not the same.
That's right.
It's still not the same of, you know, when you see the cutaways of the crowd, either after a goal or after a goal against, and you're living and dying with those people in the stands, right? That's the emotion of sports, is seeing how people react. And when you're not seeing that,
right,
I think that that does have an impact and it takes away the emotion of the event.
And it's not even just in the arena, right? Like, I can't have people over to my house to watch the game. We can't go to the bar to watch the game. So even there, the social aspect is kind of...
It just wasn't the same. And I had countless people tell me, hey, I'm just not into it. People who are good hockey fans. Yeah. I give everybody a mulligan on saying, well, that doesn't mean Canada is not a great hockey country, because it was been such a weird year. And I do think everybody's involved with their own lives and just trying to get through this whole thing. So I hope we don't have to go through it again, in the sense of, you know, a bubble again. We are going to an extent. Look, the season's going to start. If the season gets underway, let's say hockey wise in January, you're probably not going to have fans for a while, or limited number of fans, and it's still not going to be quite the same. I don't think we return to the world of fandom that we are used to until probably the fall of next year.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. Last thing to get to before the book, if you don't mind, we're talking a little bit about, or hearing more about, the World Juniors are going to go ahead, speaking of bubbles. And, you know, maybe teams will be able to bring extra players, and that they'll bubble in Alberta, and Edmonton did a nice job with the NHL. I wonder what you think the impact will be on the World Juniors and how that will be. We have seen, it's been a while, but we've seen World Juniors in European cities that might as well have been bubbled, and there was no fans there before. But what does that look like? And I wonder how you even go about selecting a team. Like, the Dub and the O aren't playing, right? Like, this looks strange. I wonder what your expectations are of the World Juniors this year.
Well, I think that they go very much on, I think in many ways they've always gone on reputation of players and what they've done in the previous years. We didn't get to see a World U18, which would be a very much an audition for the World Juniors that happens the spring before. So you're basically going to go on what you saw last season. Mm-hmm. In the junior leagues up till the cutoff in January or February, and those are the guys that are going to get invited to camp. So are we going to miss guys
that are really good fast at that age?
Yeah, 100%. Guys that have sprouted up in size or speed or whatever. So you're going to miss guys, and I just think that's the nature of the beast. Maybe they'll have a bigger camp and to do the selection process. I don't know about the details of that. As far as the actual thing, I mean, I think it'll be a little the same. It won't be quite the same. The juniors is one of the most emotional events. And you're right, we have seen small crowds in Europe, but for the most part, lately, the last 10 years, those buildings have been full, even though they're smaller buildings, and you get tons of Canadian fans there.
Yeah,
and
it's clearly catching on over there.
That's a huge part of the atmosphere. So empty buildings, it's not going to be the same, but there's going to be nothing going on, I don't think, at that time. Like, the NHL won't have started yet. The NFL will be on, but, you know, only a couple of days a week at the end of the season. So I think that there's a real opportunity there. You know, every year, I think part of the success of the juniors is we're all together for Christmas and there's nothing else going on. And I think that's accentuated even more this time. If we're all together for Christmas and we can't leave our houses and there's no other sports on, that it will be a badly needed escape for people.
You do have, as I referenced off the top, a new book out today. It's called Beauties, Hockey's Greatest Untold Stories. You've also written two other books that were, you know, egotistical, James. They were all about you. Why did you finally decide to branch out and tell somebody else's story?
Well, I mean, the day I almost killed two Gretzky's was not really about me.
That's fair.
It was a collection of columns that had probably 10 that were related to my family. So that's a fair comment by you. I did write a book on Brian Kilray, which was more sort of his book. I just was the guy who was kind of the ghost writer. So I do have a little bit of experience in talking about other people, but you're right. The guy on the left was completely about me. And I was sick of me. I had this conversation with Jay Onright, who's written a couple of books about himself. And I said, we were both sick of ourselves. Right. And so this has been sort of planted, Matt, in the back of my mind for the last 10 years. You know, the coolest part of my gig from a hockey standpoint is you get to sit on these panels and have this rotation of ex-players and ex-coaches that go through, and Bobby Mack and Dregs and everybody else. And probably the best part of the job is not the part that you guys see on air, but the part where we're just sitting around watching the game.
Right.
And those guys feel really comfortable and they all tell stories. And it's just kind of like going out for a beer with a Hall of Famer. And so I said, what if I could just do a book where I just said to a bunch of guys, you know, what's your favorite hockey story? You know, the type that you would tell a bunch of guys in a bar. And that's what I did. I asked, you know, the greatest greats of all time, the Bobby Orrs, the Wayne Gretzky's, the Sidney Crosby's, the Connor McDavid's. But I also just asked, great storytellers, Kelly Chase and Biz Nasty and guys that I work with, like sure. Bobby Mack. And so that's what it is. It's a collection of 57. Just tell me your best all-time hockey story. And so a lot of it's funny stuff that happens away from the rink, crazy games. But some of it's serious. You're from Ottawa, right?
Yep. Well, I'm living in Ottawa, but yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, I tell, Jonathan Pitra's story again, the Butterfly Child, and his connection with hockey players, and Layla Anderson, the little girl in St. Louis who was fighting for her life as the Blues went and won the Stanley Cup, which is the parallels in that story are just absolutely remarkable, by the way. And so it's just a mix of those things. And I think if anybody who likes hockey or anybody who has a loved one who likes hockey, I think they'll really like it. Cause I've read a lot of hockey books where there's some good stories within the book, but if it's an autobiography or something, you have to go through a lot of I was born in Ontario. Yeah. And so this is just taking out all that stuff and it's just the great stories. And so, I really enjoyed listening to them and writing them. I think people like reading it.
Is there, and if you can't, or you don't want to be specific or give names, but was there somebody whose arm you really had to twist? Like you'd heard a story somewhere or you'd heard them tell it and you wanted to approach them and ask them to be able to put it in the book. And they're, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, were there many of those?
There weren't a ton. There's harder people to get a hold of certainly than others, especially in the middle of a hockey season when I was writing this thing, trying to get a hold of Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby and ask them to give me an hour of their time is not easy. Crosby was fascinating. He would just send me voice memo folders.
Oh yeah.
So basically whenever over a span of 2 months, he would think of a new story and I would get this voice memo folder that would pop up in my cell phone and be, hey, it's Sid again. So I thought of this great one with Colby Armstrong and I got about four of those, which was really fascinating. Maybe there was a couple of guys of my own guys that I had to pry. Bobby Mack tells this fantastic story about getting a chance to have a shootout against Tretiak. And I think Bobby probably wanted to save it for his own book, but I pried it out of him. And there was, there were moments here and there where I had to say, okay, guys would be like, could you please leave out this part? And I'd say, well,
makes the point, story.
The point of this is to tell the story. Right. And, quite often when they said that, I said, let's just do something else because I want to be as honest with the listeners as possible. And if you don't want to tell it the way it happened, then I don't want to do it. But I really didn't have, there was nobody who fought me and said, don't include this one. I mean, there was little parts here and there. Maybe we changed the language a few times, but it wasn't too bad. We didn't change all the language, by the way. I wanted it to be authentic.
Well, I just finished Berkey's book. He didn't change much language, I can tell you
that.
I'm
sure he didn't, yeah.
There's a side project with this, or a podcast that goes along with it. Where does that idea come from, and is it, the guys coming on to tell the story, or is it you kind of working through it? Tell us a little about that.
Well, they asked me to do an audio book, and I feel a little strange sometimes doing an audio book, just sitting there reading the book. I know it's kind of the way to do things now that people buy books from Audible and such. So then I thought to myself, why don't we do like an audio book on steroids? And that would be instead of the author just reading the book, which is every audio book ever done, that we would do it like a podcast. And so I took Christoph, who is the amazing producer of Rubber Boots and basically gave him all my interviews. And I read the chapters to an extent. I change some things and ad lib a few things. And We insert the interviews wherever possible, so the actual storytellers are telling the story, and Christoph does his magic by taking you into the rink with the sounds of the rink or the sounds of the bar or whatever it may be. And it's almost more like a radio documentary than an audiobook or a podcast.
It'd be like the Daily or something. Yeah,
it, kind of, yes. Yeah. Now, the tricky part, of course, is I want people to buy the book.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to sell two different things at the same time, knowing that there are different audiences. There are people who don't read books that listen to podcasts. There are people that just love reading books. And right. So I'm trying to give everybody something here, fully being aware of that case. Like, our kids' generation, I don't know if they read as many books as certainly our generation does. But I'm not going to give away the entire book on the podcast,
exactly,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I couldn't put out every edition of the podcast before the book was out. So we're only going to put out, let's say, maybe eight of the stories from the book. And I do have some other stories that didn't make it into the book that I'll probably do on the podcast. And mm-hmm. then, once book season is over, somewhere down the road into 2021, maybe we do the entire rest of the book in the same form for, next season or whatever it may be. So you can have it either way and listen to the book that way. But I'm really, really proud, of the pod as well as the book, because it's just, I think the first one came out next week. We just finished the second one, which, as you air this podcast today, I think tonight, depending on when people are listening to your pod, yep. the second episode will be out, which has a couple of great stories, one from Steven Stamkos and one from John Cooper, one involving a mistaken car theft, the other involving a carjacking, and the wow. One of the most incredible comebacks, really, certainly in hockey history, and certainly in John Cooper's career. So, two of my favorite stories in the book in one podcast. So, I think people are going to dig it.
And is the podcast under the same name?
Podcast is also called Beauties, and you can find it. I think we're still getting it up on all the platforms, but definitely on iTunes, and it'll be there on Google Podcasts and all the other places shortly if it's not there already.
So I've only got James for a couple more minutes, but two quick things I have to ask him. A couple of weeks mm-hmm. ago, we had Tim McAuliffe of Tim and Sid on the podcast. He also went to school up here in Ottawa. Certainly
quality
there.
Guy.
Yeah, and had to break some news to him, and I wondered if you had heard, and maybe, James, maybe you're not familiar with this name, but the building that the Bearfax is in is being sold. And the Bearfax is in trouble, James. Were you aware, and are you familiar with the Bearfax? Will you admit that on the podcast?
Okay, so I will never BS you, Matt. I am 100% aware of the Bearfax.
Okay.
But I've never stepped in that place.
Okay. Like, well, you better hurry. And
there are numerous moments where I think, buddies went in, and I was never, I'll say this straight, I was never ever a strip joint guy. I'm not saying I've never been to one. Certainly there has been a couple of stags along the way, sure. When I was younger, but, I never set foot inside the Bearfax, but I knew of the legends. I heard many of the tales.
Yes. It's normally you go to see the tale, not hear it.
It's a travesty. It's a travesty for Ottawa to lose such a fine institution.
For sure it is. And the last one I have for you, James, is normally when we have people on the podcast in person, and obviously the pandemic has made this impossible, we kind of do it over a couple of craft beers. And so you're, like a lot of people, kind of getting screwed here. You've been on twice, and we haven't been able to hook right. you up with a couple of beers. But right after I had you, I took a pile of blowback from my listeners for not even asking you if you were a craft beer guy or what your takes were. And it started right. a thing. And I was able to have Bob McKenzie on the show over the summer, basically because I could drop your name. And I'm sure you felt it was safe at that point. And I asked Bob McKenzie about his craft beer takes.
I'm now, wait a second. So I'm the safe word for you
yes.
and Bob McKenzie?
Yep. That's okay. That's pretty much how that went. And obviously, Bob didn't have much to say on the craft beer subject, but the fact that I didn't ask you got my listeners all lathered up that, even if you can't have guys in and have a beer with them, you should at least be asking, are you a craft beer guy? Is that your scene at all?
Well, I'm not sure if Bob told you this. I don't even think he drinks beer. I don't know.
No, he
I've
said
ever
barely.
Seen.
Yeah, he gave us some great wine advice.
Yeah, Bob is a complete wine guy as long as I have known him. And I don't know that I've ever seen Bob have a beer. I'm more of a average Joe who will go back and forth. I like my red wine sometimes with dinner, but I do enjoy my beer. I had yesterday when it was like there's not something about everyone can talk about a beer on a hot day, but when you're playing golf in freezing cold weather, there's something amazing about
up a little.
I think it was just something like Mill Street Organic I was drinking on the course it was fantastic. So I'm not ducking around your question.
Right.
I'm a bit of an embarrassment when it comes to beer in that it's funny, my nephews and nieces who I see at the cottage, they are my nephews in particular are all in their 20s and 30s. They love the craft beer. Yep. They bring up 30 different kinds to the cottage, yep, and I always sample them, but I'm just not an expert myself. I'm kind of a wussy, you know, run of the mill, whatever's I recognize name on tap, kind of fruity Blue Moon or Mill Street,
yes,
or something,
right,
beer,
yeah,
guy. So, I'm a bit of an embarrassment. I apologize to your listeners that I don't know enough about craft beer.
Well, there they go. Or there you go, though. They can get off my back. I did ask the question now. So fair enough. And we do owe you a couple of beers. Maybe we can do this in person when it's finally safe, get you back on the show. And
I would like that.
That's James Duthie. The book is called Beauties, Hockey's Greatest Untold Stories, and it is available now on, anywhere you get your books, I imagine. Am I correct there, James?
Anywhere you can buy a
Kindle.
Book, it should be there. Yeah. You got it, buddy.
Perfect. Can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this. And like I said, maybe we can get do this again down the road when it's a little less gross outside.
Matt, I always enjoy our conversations, buddy, and all the best. And to all your listeners, let's get through this dark winter ahead and hopefully bright things and many, many good craft beers on the horizon.
Can't argue with that at all. We are on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Thank you for checking out this episode of the podcast. We will see you all on the next one.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.